Now we're turning in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 7. 1 to 7. This portion of Scripture that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 7. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. God will bless his word to our hearts. The verse we're looking at today is verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God's people, the children of the kingdom of heaven, the blessed, are poor in spirit. They mourn over sin. They are meek. And they hunger and they thirst after righteousness. And they are merciful. That's what the Beatitudes are. The characteristics of a true child of God. The blessed are merciful. Of course they're merciful. Seeing their own spiritual poverty, mourning over their own sin, being meek because they know what they are, and hungering and thirsting after righteousness because they see rightly that which God is and what God has done for them. God has been merciful to the blessed. He has forgiven their sin. So they, of course, are merciful as well. Thomas Watson says, these verses are like stairs in Solomon's temple, causing us to ascend into the Holy of Holies. Blessed are the merciful. There was never more need to preach of mercifulness than in these unmerciful times. Our society is not merciful. Letting everyone do what is right in their own eyes is not mercy. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with mercy. All it is a lackadaisical lack of care, consideration, and most of all a lack of sense. To show mercy in a very basic or limited sense is to have certain high standards of law which someone then breaks, but the lawbreaker is sorry. And repentant. They've learned their lesson. Mercy then would be the aversion of judgment off of that person for that crime. But our society is not merciful. Our society has no standard and doesn't care at all what people get up to. Our society lets its law be flaunted and broken and doesn't even care. And indeed, you've got chief police officers wanting to change the law because they say, quote, it would make our job easier if these illegal drugs weren't illegal. Of course it would, and it would make my job easier if preachers didn't have to preach. But that's not the point, sure it's not. The law is not there to make the police's job easier, it's there to be upheld. But our nation lets its law be flaunted and doesn't care. All except, actually, just by way in passing, crimes to do with finances. They seem to be the most serious crimes you can commit in our society. If it's anything to do with money, they do care about that. But mercy is far more than a simple aversion of judgment. We're going to stick with our 2 points that we'll be doing for each beatitude. Number one, who's the blessed? The answer is the merciful. And point two, why are they blessed? For they shall obtain mercy. But point one, who's the blessed? The merciful. Here is another symptom, another characteristic of a true child of the kingdom of heaven, according to the Lord Jesus. And let's look at the meaning of the words. Only has one we really need to look at on the first point, and it's the word merciful. We're going to look at the Greek word, not the meaning of the English word, of course, because the English word is far too limited. The Greek word for merciful means, now listen, it means merciful. Sounds like that, isn't it? But it also means to help the afflicted, to aid those in need. To be merciful is to help the afflicted, I'm quoting from the Greek dictionary, and to aid those in need. That's what the Greek word for mercy means, or merciful. So it doesn't just mean not to punish someone when they've done wrong. It means to help the afflicted and the needy. To show or to do mercy. Merciful. Full of mercy. What do the commentators say? Sometimes good to bring them in. I'm going to give you 3 quotes from 3 commentators on the word merciful and its meaning. Thomas Watson the Puritan says, a melting disposition whereby we lay to heart the miseries of others and are ready on all occasions to be instrumental for their good. End of quote. David Dixon, the Scottish Presbyterian in Puritan times, says that mercy is a holy compassion for the miseries of others, for the misery of other men's bodies and souls, to do them good. End of quote. And then A.W. Pink. What is merciful? A holy compassion of soul whereby one is moved to pity and go to the relief of others. End of quote. So you see, even with those 3 quotes, the repetition of the theme of merciful, even in these good commentators. In the Bible, the meaning of the word merciful is to pity, to have compassion to those in misery, but it's a pity and compassion that does something and goes to them and helps those in need. That is merciful. And that, of course, is biblical, isn't it? And it is also biblically and also historically a Christian virtue. You can see it in history, can't you? Mercy is acts of mercy. The child of God is merciful. That's why it was Christians who started schools for poor children. Wasn't the world? Wasn't the pagans? Wasn't the British government? It was the Christians that started schools for poor children who were uneducated. It was only the rich that got educated because they could pay for private tutors. It was Christians in their mercy that started schools for poor children. It was Christians that started hospitals for the poor. It was Christians that came up with the idea of orphanages for those whose parents had died, little children. Christians. And all other forms of charity, and even the word charity, comes from Christianity, because charities were started by believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in India and China and UK and Europe and all over the world. This comes from the word charis, the love, the agape love and so on. Because mercy and compassion for those in need flows from the Christian mindset. What is mercy? Blessed are the merciful. It's a compassion and care for the body and soul of other people that does something. Now, the pagan world never cares for the needy in their misery, really. Oh yes, they pretend to today. You see their pretense. But as the secular world, and in our local context I'm talking about the British government, as the secular pagan British government has taken over Christian charities and taken over schools and schooling and taken over orphanages and taken over hospitals and all other types of charities. Now what do you have? Laws against money laundering in charities and these other institutions. You have to have that now, because it's like pagans run. Pagans have taken over. Because charity has become infected by the unregenerate world. If charities were run by the merciful, by those that are filled with compassion, by Christians, you wouldn't need those laws. Charities were started by those who gave themselves and what they had for the needy. Charities were not started by secular leeches that wanted to skim the profits. Have you ever noticed how expensive it is now to buy things in some second-hand shops? Why is that? Because secular leeches have turned it into business. That's why. They don't care about the poor or the needy. They want to make money. Jesus in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 23 and verse 14 condemns the Pharisees for their behavior in relation to poor widows. Jesus says in Matthew 23:14, "Woe to you, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and then for pretense, for show, you make long prayers." What does that mean? It means in their pomposity and their, they wanted to show off what they were doing, long prayers, pretense. What were they doing? The husband died. They would put the widow out of her house, sell the house, and put the money into the coffers of the temple. That's what they did. And then they would pray long, pretend they're so holy. Almost the exact parallel with the British government. You ever heard of inheritance tax? You will sooner or later. But just wait until your parents or your parent, the one that survives the other, ends up having to go to a home. A care home, they call it. Your parents' home, their house, will be devoured by legal, government-funded care homes as they stick their arm right in. Literally thousands. Over £1,000 a week. A week. They stick their arm right into the needy and right into the grieving and right into the widow. Right in. That's our stinking government and our stinking society. And I use the word stinking under the proper meaning of it. Stinking. The greed. The true child of God, brothers and sisters, is merciful. They pity and have compassion that does something for those in misery. Who are the blessed, they are merciful. Second point, why? Why are they blessed? Oh, for they shall obtain mercy. The word shall is a future tense passive verb. They shall obtain mercy. They shall, it simply means mercy will be given to them. They will be passive. But they will receive mercy themselves. In the future, the merciful will have their own possession of mercy from God. It will be done to them. They are passive. They're not active. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy in the future. Now, let's stop right there. Because immediately, liberals jump in and they love to use this text and they say, oh, does that mean that we don't need the gospel then, you see? Because you take that verse literally and out of context, does that mean we don't need the gospel? We just need to be merciful to others, and if we do that, then in the future we'll receive mercy from God. Liberals really take it in that way. Mercifulness to others warrants mercifulness from God. They also take Matthew 6 verses 14 and 15 in the same way. Turn over, you'll see it's all part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, the Lord Jesus has just finished the Lord's Prayer, as we like to call it, and it says in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now the liberals and do-gooders, they love these type of verses. They love to take them in the wrong way. And they say, look, your forgiveness by God is dependent upon you forgiving others. So do you want to be forgiven, say the liberals? Well then, forgive others. That's how you get forgiven. By forgiving others. If you forgive others your trespasses, God will forgive you. That's how you get forgiven. There's no need for the gospel and all that type of thing. Just forgive others and you'll be forgiven. That is so wrong. So wrong. And it's a basic heresy. And that's very, very bad biblical interpretation or hermeneutics. Because it means just the opposite, of course. What is the Sermon on the Mount? It is Jesus telling us the characteristics and the Beatitudes of a true child of God. Someone who's already forgiven, already saved. And then the rest of it is how they live, how a true child of God lives. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about that. someone who has already believed the gospel. So then, when you come to chapter 6, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. This does not mean that we merit forgiveness by forgiving others, but rather, it simply means unless we forgive others, there is no evidence whatsoever that we have been forgiven ourselves. It's a Christian lens, you see. It's really saying a Christian, one of the symptoms of a real Christian is they are forgiving. And it's the theme, of course, with merciful in chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Being merciful is a sign that we are a true child of God. Being merciful is the natural result of having received Christ, of experiencing the grace of God. Being merciful makes you merciful. The merciful shall obtain mercy, because they, and they are the only ones that are real Christians. They are showing the characteristics of a child of the kingdom. Poor in spirit, they mourn or grieve over sin. They are meek, they are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, and they are merciful. The only ones who shall receive mercy are those that show mercy now, because they are the only true children of the kingdom of heaven. I want to conclude, recap, and have a few points of application. Number one, who's blessed? Who's the blessed? And the answer is the merciful. The true child of God is merciful. They're full of pity and compassion that does something for those whom they see and know that are in misery and need. It's merciful. And two, why are the blessed blessed? For they shall receive mercy. They shall receive mercy from God. Now, what about application? Well, I'm not to put the applications, I'll not be too long on them, but under this point, exhortations to be merciful. Number one, here's why we should be merciful, in other words. Why should you and I be merciful? Number one, because we are meant to be Christ-like. A Christian is someone who follows the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was merciful. He is merciful, even to us this day. Do you remember in John's Gospel, in chapter 5, the Lord Jesus one day went to the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. And there he saw a man who could not walk. And in pure mercy and compassion, the Lord Jesus went to that man and he just said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man said to him, "Sir, I have no man," meaning I have no man. When the angel comes down and stirs the water, the first person into the water is healed of whatever disease they have. But I have no man to take me there. I can't walk. I can't get there in time. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." See, Jesus helped the one man out of all the crowd, the one man who had no hope of getting to the water. None. He was merciful. And then, you remember in Luke 18, the Lord Jesus is going to Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem for the last time, the crucifixion. And he passes through Jericho for the last time, and he meets Zacchaeus, but on the way out the other side of Jericho, there's blind Bartimaeus, that beggar who can't see a thing, sitting at the side of the road, and he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming, and he shouts and he calls out, and the crowd tell him to keep quiet. Why would anyone want to listen to a beggar like you, so you can't even say shh? And he cries all the more. And Jesus is coming near now, and he cries out these words, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it's lovely, that's in verse 39, and Jesus, it says in the next verse, Jesus stood, which means he stopped. And he commanded that that man be brought to him. He stops for a beggar. And Jesus says to him, what will thee that I shall do to thee? And the blind beggar says, that I might receive my sight. What faith? He never met Jesus before, he'd only heard stories. I want to see. And Jesus said to him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Faith. Verse 42. Mercy. Jesus was and is merciful. He was merciful to Zacchaeus. He was merciful to the multitudes. He cast his eyes upon the multitudes, and it says he was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He was merciful to Peter the blunderer. Why? Why is Jesus merciful? Because he is God. And it says in Ephesians 2:4, God who is rich in mercy. In 1 Peter it says abundant in mercy. Superabundant in mercy is what it means. Why should you be merciful? Why should I be merciful? Well, do you not remember the day when Jesus Christ visited you in mercy? Maybe it was in your bedroom. For me it was in my bedroom when I was 17 for the first time at least. The factory floor it could have been. Or in the car or in the hospital or even in church. You remember the day that Jesus stopped for you and he called you forth. On the day that you were conscious of God. And because of that, very conscious of all your sin, and all you could say was, God be merciful to me, the sinner. If you've never pleaded that, you're damned. Every child of God has come to the point when they say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you and I, brothers and sisters, must be merciful, and we must be compassionate, and we must pity those in need, because God was merciful and compassionate and pitied us. Jesus visited us in mercy. It wasn't for any good in us, sure it wasn't. So the exhortation to be merciful is simply this, be Christ-like. Here to follow him. And the second line of application I want to draw from it is this. It's taken from Psalm 109. You might want to turn over to Psalm 109. Because I'm just going to read it, and it speaks for itself. I'll give a sentence of explanation. You're cursed if you're not merciful. Psalm 109, verse 7 to 16. You could read the whole psalm, but I'll not. You can read it at some point later if you want. Psalm 109, verse 7 to 16. Let's read. Talking about a wicked man that Satan's at his right hand in verse 6. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office, his position. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labour. Let there be none that extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favour his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, with Jehovah, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord Jehovah continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Why? Verse 16. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. What a list of curses upon this wicked man in Psalm 109. Why? One word. Unmerciful. Unmerciful. Curse. That's why. That's the reason. Be very brief. The third line of application. Let us be exhorted to be merciful to the souls of others. Thomas Watson brings that out. I'm not going to go into it. But we are merciful to the souls of others in that we pity them. We advise them and exhort them to come to Christ. We reprove them for sin. And we pray for sinners. That's how we show mercy to the souls of others. And then, of course, fourthly, we're exhorted to be merciful to the physical needs of others. We've already looked at that in James 2. James says, if you just say to your brother, be warmed and be filled, but you don't do or give him the things that are needful, what use is that? And the answer is, of course, none. The fifth thing I would just say is, if you're not merciful, if I'm not merciful in our doings, we're not the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be. Because you remember that Matthew 25 passage when the nations are divided and there's those on the right hand and those on the left, and the Lord Jesus condemns those certain ones that are on the left hand. Why? Well, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was sick and you didn't help me. And he goes through a list of good deeds, doesn't he? And they answer and say, they couldn't remember when they hadn't done these things. They also answered him saying, Lord, when saw we the hungered or a thirst or stranger or naked and did it on they go, then he shall answer them saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And then the people go to hell in the next verse. They go out into everlasting punishment. But the illustration, of course, is they didn't do any merciful works. There was none. None. We are not merciful in our doings. We are not Christ. If we are merciful in our doings, we are Christ. So that's the points of application. 1 to 5. Be Christ-like. That's why we should be merciful. We're cursed if we're not merciful. We are to be merciful to the souls of others by advising them, giving them the gospel, reproving them, and praying for them. Be merciful to the physical needs of others. And if we're not, we're not Christians. And if we are, we are Christians. You often hear me saying this, what do you feel? I always say, what do you think? I don't like saying, what do you feel? What do you feel when you think of God's mercy to you, believer? very important what you feel about that, you know, and how you think about it. Thomas Watson says, the mercifulness of God makes a sinner proud, but a saint humble. Because God is merciful to sinners and lets them carry on in their sin and doesn't immediately judge them and cast them into hell, what does that do to them? There's no God here. I've done this and that and the other. I've got off with it. It makes them proud and arrogant. But God's mercifulness to a saint makes them humble. Humble. Doesn't it? Sinner, humble yourself under God's almighty hand and he will raise you up. If you're not Christ, sue for God's mercy through Christ today. For now is the day of salvation. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Thank you for your attention this evening.